And this is the hour. We'll take your phone calls with Lynn Andrews. Her website, by the way, lynnandrews.com, linked up for you at Coast to Coast AM. We're talking about her work, Coming Full Circle, Ancient Teachings for a Modern World. How about your calls when we come right back? And welcome back. Lynn Andrews with us. Your phone calls as well. What's your take on astronomy, astrology, and everything else like that, Lynn?
Ancient astrology that was worked with by the Mayans and the Egyptians is fascinating. I think we've lost great parts of it, but I think that astrology can be very, very helpful and very valid. I use it from time to time. Astronomy, I think, is hugely powerful. That's what's happening right now, all of the different conjunctions and the movement of the planets. And I thought it was very interesting the other day when we had the eclipse of the sun with the ring of fire. To me, that was the moon, which is female, moving across the sun, which is a male symbol. So you saw the reflective surface, and then you saw the ring of fire, which to me is there's a patriarchal dance going on, a death dance, I think, in a way. And the matriarchal system trying to emerge completely. Neither is good just of itself. I think there has to be a balance between the two. And I think the struggle is to keep that balance from happening. I think that's part of the reason that the world is in such trouble. If people don't understand the firstness of woman because of Mother Earth, because of the healing of Mother Earth. Like when I was talking about the great trees are falling, it was a prophecy that makes you realize that things are shifting, that there is evolution upon us, and that we have disregarded all the signals and the signs in the stars, in particularly, but the stars are within us, sort of. We are within the stars. There's a wonderful old saying that we are made from stars, and to the stars we must one day return. I think perhaps that the ancient wisdom on this earth was seeded here by beings from the Pleiades, or maybe. I was told that. I have no idea if that's true. But there is some, I mean, when you're working with higher consciousness, when I'm working with healing somebody or helping them to heal themselves, something comes in, a higher energy force, understanding, a healing aspect comes into your heart and opens you to all possibilities that that person could have for their life. When I look at someone, I see a woman might come to me, I see the goddess form that they really are, and I try to help them find that perfection that they've forgotten that they are. They came in with it, but they forgot who they were. And now it's a process of remembering who you are. At least that's how I see it. And I think you do that with astrology beautifully if you are. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that astrology is as good as the person doing it.
Okay, let's take some calls here, Lynn. Let's go to Scott in Appleton, Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Hey, Scott, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good, Scotty.
Thank you again for again taking my call. My question is for Lynn, are you born with shamanism, or is it something that you can develop even into as far as starting it in midlife? And also, does ESP play a factor in this? Because my older brother is always telling my mom, he'll call up my mom and she'll say, well, I can expect a phone call from Scott now. And I'm just wondering, are you born with it, or is it a latent talent in all of us? I'll take my hands off here. Thank you again.
Okay, go ahead.
And Scott, thank you for the question. It's a really good one. I think that people have latent talents, each and every one of us. I think we all experience miracles every day, but we don't acknowledge them, like knowing who's on the phone when you pick it up, as you were saying, ESP. I think that I'm trying to see you. I mean, when you called, I can see your energy field. And yes, I do think in midlife, even as an elder, you can move into your shamanic abilities. It's like anything else, Scott. You have to study it. You have to open yourself to it. But I think you probably had certain abilities all of your life. Most people have. But they don't realize it. They don't acknowledge it. They don't own it. And as a result, there's a stress that is created because you're not owning the power that you do have. So many of us will back away from our power and wonder why we have back trouble, that kind of thing. But yes, to answer your question, I think that people can move into the shamanic practice and the shamanic world in midlife, absolutely. I'm giving a big event, for instance, at the end of May, well, just coming up in a couple of weeks, or week and a half, outside of Santa Fe at Ghost Ranch. And you're welcome to come. It's going to be a very magical event. I give it once a year. And we have a fabulous band. We put you through an experience that is profound. And speaking of stars and astronomy, oh, my God, the stars are so close to you in a place like Ghost Ranch, because that's where what's her name? Used to paint her paintings. What is her name? Anyway, Ghost Ranch is a very famous place, but it's in the middle of nowhere, and it's surrounded by magnificent mesas. And I totally love this particular event. And people who are interested in tasting what shamanism is really all about find, I think, great courage from that event, and it changes many people's lives for the good. It's very healing for people. I think if you step into shamanism, what you're doing is you're stepping out of the ordinary world and moving into a place of adventure, and you're looking for a mentor. You're looking for a way to move into the feeling that there is more to life than what you see. But there's a threshold involved in that. And that threshold means that you make the choice to be healthy, you make the choice to heal, you make the choice to learn what it takes to have self-worth and to feel whole in this life, to feel your heart.
Were you thinking of Georgia O'Keeffe?
Thank you.
Is that it?
Hello.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go. Let's take another call. Let's go to Lynn. No, let's go to Olympia, Washington first. She's been on hold for a while. Meryl's with us. Hey, Meryl, go ahead.
Hi. Hi, Lynn,
hi,
and hi, George.
I was born in Seattle, so I know where.
Oh, yay. And,
yay.
Well, I don't really have a question, but you may have even just addressed this. You were asking, George was asking why one thinks one needs healing. And I have to say, I'm 54 now, and I have watched myself repeat cycles. They're, you know, psychologically based cycles based out of trauma, whatever, past. And yeah, I see myself in it many times, and I'm so in it. I'm gripped by it, and I guess I still have some measure of hope. And so I'm conscious of it, and then I'm not conscious of it, just kind of vacillates.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, disappointment, boom, hurt, and
yes,
fairly traumatic, but it keeps happening, and maybe it's getting a little bit shorter in duration, but it's still, at this age, I'm just so frustrated. I've done psychoanalysis, I've done energy work, I do some Jin Shin Jitsu, I've meditated on it, I've cried over it. I mean, I have worked on it, and I still find myself whether, and the main ingredient, the common denominator, for simplicity's sake, I would say, is seeking connection, true connection, with mainly with people. I mean, I live already and surrounded by nature, and animals. Excuse me, I've worked with animals, rehab, and whatnot. But
that's wonderful. Thank you for doing that.
Connection that I seek is, it could be with individuals where I end up taking care of them to a large extent because I'm fairly compassionate and have tremendous empathetic, I guess, skills or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be individuals or small groups or my workplace or, and I always get myself.
What about relationships?
It's all about connection and with the people, like still seeking, you know, still hoping, still seeking, whatever. Luckily,
did
I didn't do that.
If I may interrupt you just for a second, because we don't have much time.
Yes.
Did you come from an abusive background as a kid?
Sort of. It was with a mentally ill mother, yes, who was partially not, didn't appear mentally ill some of the time. So, but I'm the youngest in the family, so it was always kind of like the invisibility of the youngest.
Yeah, and probably some feelings of guilt that maybe you
mm-hmm.
should be able to help your mother, but you couldn't.
Right. Oh, definitely. But I want to plug one more thing, and I know you're going to get to the next caller, and that is that I do know I have tapped into my own centeredness and my own sense of power, but it's so rare. You know, I know I am more than this repeating of whatever, you know, cycles. I know I'm more than this, but I can't seem to access it. So there you go.
But, you know, I know exactly what you mean because that's what a puella does. Someone who comes out of abuse is a puer or puella, which is the Latin word for, puella eternus, the eternal child. And as you get older, you begin to sabotage your life because you never had a childhood and you want to play. Basically, you want to play because you never could. I would love to work with you or help you in some way.
Can people contact you, Lynn, through your website?
Yeah, you can have, I do appointments every day. So go up on my website and let me have a chance to talk to you. I know that I can assist you with this. And also my new book will help you a great deal, I think.
How many books do you have out now? 20 plus, don't you?
Yes, I've written 20 books, George, and I don't know how.
That's pretty prolific.
I can't. Well, they're written. They're all autobiographical. They've all been written about my own experiences with these extraordinary women who, you know, I was talking about Amy Hummingbird's wing. When I first saw her, it's this statue of, you know, woman with, you know, a silver Milagro necklaces around her neck and an old straw hat and a beautiful embroidered blouse and skirt and old Hirachi kind of sandals on and this incredible face with brilliant mirror-like eyes, you know, looking at me with, I mean, just incredible people that have gone through this, all of the healing processes that you could ever imagine, from blindness to learning to see with their skin rather than with their eyes. This woman particularly was, she had been very abused as a child. She did exactly what your caller just was talking about. She was doing all kinds of things that sabotaged everything in her life. And it wasn't until much, much later that she realized what she was doing and she was healed so completely that I think she's actually moved past the process of aging, which I'm sure you don't believe me, but it's really true. She just doesn't age. And I was hoping, dear God, that she would teach me about that. But
it was not meant to be.
Maybe it was not meant to be. I don't know.
We've got Steve in Los Angeles, and now he's with you. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, okay. The question starting off with would be, you know, how the forms of healing take place or what is done or how it happens. And I guess why I need the healing is short version is my first relationship, who I thought we were simpatico. She wanted to be a comedian. I was basically a motorcycle courier splitting traffic on a turbocharged Kawasaki with a public access television show, video editing, music. And she sucked all the joy out of it. My second relationship got angry anytime I showed any interest in my old life. And now I got the greatest woman in the world who is kicking my butt to get me started on doing all of it again. And I got no enthusiasm. I mean, anytime I pick up something I feel like I'm going to enjoy, I get paranoid that something bad's going to happen. And you're shot.
Oh, gosh, Steve. You know, you're sabotaging yourself, as you know. I think, first of all, you picked women that would keep you from being joyful. And then you pick someone who's great, and then you're not living up to that. Did you come from abuse early in life?
It was just neglect. My mom was absent. The first time I see my dad was when I get off the plane in Dallas. I'm smoking a cigarette. I talked to him to let me drive in the car back from the airport, and he handed me the keys to his oversized motorcycle where I had to slide off the seat to get a toe on the ground. He kept falling over, and I'm basically at 14, riding around Texas unsupervised with my little brother on the back. So, yeah.
That was like fun at the time. To you, your mother, what happened with your mother?
She and my brother, well, my brother's 48, and he still lives at home with her in a house that could be featured on hoarding. The sad situation, she hasn't seen her granddaughter in 18 years because I just keep her out of my life and him as well.
When you were 5, 6, 7 years old, where was she?
Working nights and sleeping days, and I had some of those wonderful Polish babysitters in this point of speaking the language, which I can't remember a word of now.
Well, it sounds like to me that you again, that somewhere there was a kind of childhood where you couldn't be yourself, and that now you are being yourself. And you're playing, you're doing that childhood that you didn't really own somehow. And when a woman loves you the way she loves you, she wants you to be successful at something. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, probably is. Lynn, we're almost out of time for this half before we come back with final phone calls.
Okay.
Once again, tell us, where can we get your book, Coming Full Circle?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it on my website. I think those are the main places that you can get it the most quickly. And in lots of bookstores around the country. I had a book signing in Marin County a couple of weeks ago, and it was so fantastic to walk into an actual bookstore.
Oh, it's fun. It's great.
Oh, I was so thrilled. I was so happy. And there were people there, and I was actually signing books, not, you know, looking at an e-book. It was just a thrill.
All right, stay with us, Lynn. We're going to come back, take final phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next program, Lon Milo Duquette joins us as we talk about magic. So I'm looking forward to that. First hour, we'll talk a little bit about Egypt and pyramids. And when we come back with Lynn Andrews, let's take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Lynn, let me ask you, as we started the program, we were talking about shamans and how they knew the things they know. Was it handed down to them, this knowledge of, you know?
Oftentimes, yes. You were born into a family of medicine men, medicine women, which is very, very tribal and very particular and specific to the region that they live. Shamans, oftentimes, however, learn from another shaman somewhere else in the world. I have learned all over the world, and I have met many shamans that have done the same thing. They're usually, most of the ones I have met are elder, but there are certainly in the Sisterhood of the Shields, there are two younger women that are coming up. And of course, I'm one of the youngers as well. Actually,
that's good.
Yeah, And I do think that everybody has the ability. I think it's harder for some people. Some people maybe haven't come here really to learn about aliens or astronomy or astrology or energy fields or seeing auras around people. On the other hand, some people just fit right into that almost without thinking. They know how to sit with a tree and understand, you know, what the world tree or the tree of life really means. They can feel the sap. They can feel the branches. They know how to get inside that tree and be led up towards the top. It's kind of like moving through the blocks that you have in life. You know, you move up the great tree, and for each branch that you find, you are led usually by a butterfly, and that butterfly will flutter and show you and lead you to a branch where you have to give away one of your blocks. And as you go up the tree, you keep giving away things that no longer serve you. And that's part of what I do with people when they join, say, Lynn Andrews School for Sacred Arts and Training. It's about learning how to hold power, how to manifest abundance in your life through the ways of healing. I think what happens with people that work without spirit is that they only get the physical side of healing. They don't understand that as you are below, you are above, and as you are above, you are below. In other words, as you are in spirit, you create your physical body. And you have to understand that the way you think creates your reality. It truly does. If you look at your body right now, you realize what you were thinking a few years ago, maybe even just a few days ago. And it's just so important to understand. It's not controlling thoughts. It's able to understand and move and shift from one way of being to the next, from despair to hope, from weakness to strength, from folly to wisdom. What it really is the hero's journey. It's a shape-shifting in a sense. And, George, we haven't talked about shape-shifting, but it's so very important, I think. I think that's what we're doing right now with 2012.
We're
shape-shifting
too.
Out of an old paradigm into a very new one. The new one is a place of joy, a place of love, a place of much higher understanding, where the consideration of war really wouldn't even exist, because it wouldn't even be a concept. I was working with someone who felt that they were being attacked by someone, by a sorcerer, they called him. And I told them, I said, you know, you are inviting this situation in somehow. Somehow your frequency is inviting this in, and you don't protect yourself in that sense. You understand why you're inviting it in. And you've got to remember that when Einstein, who was a great, great man, and he purified his spirit through the meditation of numbers and equations and syllogisms in his life, so that finally the theory of relativity came into him. And when that happened, that kind of power, he would never have considered hurting another human being. It would have been impossible for him.
Oh, and that's critical, too.
Yes.
That is critical.
So if the person has the power to hurt you, they wouldn't. And if they say they're going to hurt you, they don't have the power to do it.
Okay, yes. Let's go to the final calls. You ready?
Yes.
We've got Jack, first of all, in Hollywood. Hey, Jack, thanks for holding so long.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
You have wonderful energy.
Oh, thank you so much. This show is so fabulous.
Yes, and, you know, you were talking about healing power, you know, and I truly believe that we can heal ourselves And but I have a paradox. There is a, I am at a paradox with the healing philosophy, because I always wonder, you know, what is the point of healing if you're going to die anyway? So that means that you would never die, because you would heal yourself constantly of anything that is trying to kill you, right? So so what do you what do you think of that?
Well, I think you're very funny. I mean, I'm not laughing at you. I think I'm laughing with you. I think you came here to learn about healing yourself. You came here onto this earth plane. This earth walk is about learning. It's about a mythology of moving towards perfection as the hero. You're a hero, I think. I mean, as I look at your energy field, you're a hero that is moving towards this threshold that you can walk through if you choose to. And the threshold is, when you really see it in your life, it's actually going to have a color. It's going to have a turquoise kind of vibrant color to it. And you have a choice. You can either walk through that threshold or not. And it's a good threshold. Some gateways are not good. And you know it. You know instantly if it's not healthy for you. And this process of healing is constantly working on that. Yeah, yes, you're going to die, but you're not going to die. There's no such thing as dying. You just move on. You know, life is a circle. Right, Jack?
Let's go to Pat now in Toronto, Canada. Hey, Pat, welcome to the show.
My God, I can't believe I got through.
Yes, you did.
Greetings from Toronto, Ontario.
Oh, great, hi, Pat.
Which I'll be, by the way, June 23rd. And, Pat, you best be there. The Queen Elizabeth Theater.
You're following, George, here in the city.
Yeah, I love
I'll
it.
I'll have to tell a woman I'm going to lunch. She'll probably have cardiac arrest. this is a privilege to speak to both of you, really. And I have surgery pending for a knee replacement July the 6th. I don't have any qualms about the surgery, but I'm wondering, to your wonderful guests there, that I think sometimes in life, if we can't forget somebody who has harmed us, we can forgive them, that somehow or other, it manifests itself in another way in the body, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It does. I had an aunt, much younger than my late uncle, both of them are from Kingston, Ontario, who never smiled in her life, was very controlling to my uncle, who I dearly loved, and was full of this particular problem. And I don't want to be like that, you know what I mean?
Well, I do. I understand very much. Is your which knee are you having
left.
Operated on?
But prior to this, about 30 or 40 years ago, I weighed 300, and I had two gastric staplings, and ultimately, over a period of time, must have lost 160 pounds.
Oh, my God.
So this is major surgery, and I'm still around to talk about it.
Yeah, that's
music
major.
Too, so I find a lot of therapy escaping the music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, in any event, I was wondering your thoughts on it.
Well, with the stomach, I don't know why, I'm just saying this is going to sound so silly, but what was it that you couldn't stomach in your life? What was it?
I have suffered a lot of trauma from the medical profession and the psychiatric profession years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And went to, years ago, I went to this art breakthrough course, which is very helpful.
Mm.
But I just don't want to hang on to those things, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Well, I do. And
yeah.
Why don't you let go of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't you?
That's the idea.
Yeah. All right, but do it. You can let go of it right now. Why do you hold on to it? Because
go for
it's like an old friend.
We're going to take some more calls here, okay, Lynn?
Okay, yes, absolutely.
Let's move on to Josh in Eugene, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hi, Josh.
Hi, George. How are you?
Great.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm wonderful. What can I do for you?
Well, you mentioned 5, 6, 7 years old. I was sexually not molested, but I don't know. It's hard to explain, but... How do you, How do you get over that? How do you heal from that over a course of time? And I know the strength of shamanism. I've been on the path, off the path. That's something that's always been resonated with me my whole life. And, yeah.
Well, you know, abuse is so, it's so deep. And what I would have to find out from you is, first of all, where, when you say you want to let go of this, is it in, where do you feel it in your body? Is it in the lower part of your body? Is it in your heart? Where is it?
You mentioned the back.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're back. Okay, so what is there in your life that you're not manifesting that you know you can and you really want to, but you don't do it?
off and on, shamanism, actually.
Really? Well, so come to our event in a week and a half. Just come.
I wish I could.
Well, it would be wonderful. And go to the online courses. We have fabulous online courses.
Oh, well, that'll help people.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Let's take a few more calls and wrap things up. Courtney in Richmond, Virginia on the wild card line. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, I am glad to be on, and thanks for taking my call. A little pre-ramble, about a year or so ago was my first time calling into your show and to you, and I got through first try. It was like the guy had predicted the Armageddon apocalypse starting like the next day or world ending the next day.
Oh, that Harold Camping, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I called in. I ended up being the last caller of the night, and I never even got to begin to ask my question. It was just kind of like...
You're always the last caller.
My last begin? Great. Well, I'll try to get it out this time. But at the end, I didn't even begin to ask anything or say anything, and you said, tell your story. You have a story to tell. Don't quit until you tell your story. Like, get your story told. And that's kind of been the battle of my entire life. Ever since I can remember, there's been this story plaguing me and building, and I've been trying to get it down, and I feel like, I mean, I can remember tasting the forbidden fruit at the beginning of time and all of the choices I've made to get me here and now, and it feels like this is beyond the Mayan prophecy or anything. It's just I've always felt like I was going, like the time was ending when I turned 30, and that is happens to be the 2012 date coming up, and I'm not sure, like half of me feels like I'm going to live forever at 30, but another part of me feels like that is the end time. I have to get it done by then. If I don't, even if I live forever at 30, I will have lived forever failing at 30. And
are you
story,
talking about writing your story?
Yes, it's a story, and it's impossible.
But you know what's happening is that the story is stalking you. It's circling you and circling you. I can see it. You know, I have a writing school that's online. Well, online. It's a school without walls, and it's a year-long writing school, and we just started. You ought to join us, and we can get that story down on paper, and you can write it.
I would love that. I'd greatly appreciate that because I feel like the only thing that's stopping me is really some kind of structure that keeps me focused and keeps me progressing towards the end instead of just starting at the beginning over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, ending times only means that you're at the beginning time, hey? And somehow there's something that's holding you back that is probably the greatest lesson in your life.
You seem very enlightened, Lynn. I got to tell you that.
Well, thank you.
You do. You have a good outlook on life, and like you said, it wasn't always that way for you, but it's sure nicer to be in this position now, isn't it?
Well, it's wonderful. I'm very humbled by the fact that I can see people and work with them. It's humbling. And it's a great joy. It truly is to be able to share what you have learned in your life. You know, I love this. I love you for being able to bring all of this to people. I mean, it's spectacular what you've accomplished, I think.
Well, thank you. Let's see if we can get Carl in. He's got a minute left. That's all we've got. Springfield, Missouri. Go ahead, Carl.
Thank you for taking the call, George.
Sure.
And I appreciate all your information tonight. Real quick, as fast as I can, 45, health is going down. I've got a 7-year-old daughter. I would like to live to see her graduate and grow up. How much do you think mood plays into continuing a downward spiral of health? There's a possibility I've got lung cancer. I am a diabetic. I'm going through the treatment right at the moment. But it just seems like ever since I found out I had diabetes and I had failing health with my eyes and such.
Well, let me tell you what I think about diabetes. I think diabetes really is something has happened that's really good in your life. Maybe it was that child.
30 seconds, Lynn.
You're having difficulty in metabolizing the sweetness in your life. Think about that. It can change your life, if you can see what I'm saying, or work with me on that.
Sure is.
Because you don't have to have this.
Lynn, I want to thank you for being on the show. Keep in touch with us, okay?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Lynn Andrews, her book, of course, Coming Full Circle. LynnAndrews.com. You know, it's nice. It's nice to talk to somebody with some positive energy every once in a while, isn't it? For Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.